Yes, sir.
Given the global economy, the Federal Reserve monetary policy is effective today in central markets. What's going on? Given that the money flows from all sources.
The question is, some of you may not have heard it, given the global economy, and I'm going to elaborate here a little bit, the interconnectedness of our economy with others, is the Federal Reserve's monetary policy as effective today as it was when we were more of a closed economy? That's the question? Well, one way to think about this is that we actually are managing dollar monetary policy, which has influence quite literally all over the world. The dollar is a transaction currency in international trade. As you very well know, it's the currency in which commodity trades are settled, particularly for oil and some other commodities. So, in a way, the monetary policy deals with some of this global nature of the economy. But as regards the domestic economy, I am aware of no studies that suggest that we've lost in any dramatic way, lost the effectiveness of monetary policy on the dollar economy of the United States. Yes, sir.
It's my understanding that most central banks in Europe, say, have only one goal, which is price stability, whereas the Fed has two goals, price stability and economic growth. Do you think that our approach is better or worse than the other approach?
Well, you're absolutely correct that the ECB, European Central Bank, has really only one mandate, which is price stability. And as I said in my remarks, we have two mandates, which is price stability or control of inflation and maximum GDP growth that is consistent with the best possible employment picture we can have. Interestingly, I sat next to one of the members of the ECB a group out at Jackson Hole at this recent conference, as you may have read about. And I asked him about, you know, whether they really focused entirely on their single mandate of price stability or whether in practice they took into consideration other things. And the answer was that they took into consideration other things, although by charter or by legally their mandate is simply price stability. I don't think one is necessarily better than the other, or at least I wouldn't criticize the ECB, but it's simply a reality that we have, in a way, two different systems at work, which at certain times creates conceivably pressure on a currency because of interest rate differentials. Yes, sir?
Yeah, I'm a bit curious with the cost of the prices of homes dropping as much as it has. And in the past, rising home prices and the rental incomes have had an influence on inflation forecasts and projections and actual inflation. How does this factor into your thinking about the inflation outlook going forward?
Well, the question relates to the decline in home prices and the trend in decline in home prices. And the question is, how does that factor into my views of inflation going forward? And first, let me say, and I think I'm sure Rajiv will cover this or have some outlook, but my best guess is that home prices will continue to decline. We've seen various numbers by various students of the phenomenon, and it depends a little bit on how you measure it. You know, there are a couple different measures. There's the Case-Shiller index that measures 20 metropolitan areas across the country. The most recent number was almost 15% decline on a year-over-year basis. The OFEO index, which measures conforming mortgages across the nation, was in the neighborhood of 5% year-over-year. So there are various ways of measuring it. But looking at the Case-Shiller index, I've been informed by some of my economists as well as readings that we could see continuing decline, perhaps in the range of 10 to 15% further. That's possible, at least. So the outlook in general is that house prices will continue to decline. That has an effect on a component of inflation, which is the rent equivalent component that basically tries to measure housing costs. So it does have some influence, and obviously would have a dampening influence if rents come down and the imputed cost of rents imputed from home ownership come down that much. So it is a, let's say, a softening element in the inflation picture. Yes, sir.
When we were the main consumers of energy before China and India and everybody else, it seemed like the Fed policy would have been more effective in trying to control inflation because you could diminish demand, taking away from the growth. But now that the locus of that demand is somewhere else, I mean, we can't really depress the economy here in the States but try to control inflation and yet not have significant effects on the demand that is pushing those prices back.
Well said. And you know, I said something very similar in my remarks. Oil prices are set principally by supply and demand factors that are now global. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. You're obviously well informed. The rise of China and India has perhaps brought up global demand. Supply has been relatively tight in recent years. There are a number of countries that are whose production is diminishing. For example, Mexico, the North Sea, and so forth. And there haven't been major fields that have come online on a worldwide basis. So we have relatively tight supply and demand conditions that are, in effect, outside the control of monetary policy in the United States or in dollar terms. Now, there is this interplay between the movement of the dollar and oil prices and commodity prices. At least it appears to be some interplay. So there is some influence conceivably when the dollar strengthens that it helps prices a little bit on the margin. But the fundamentals are supply and demand, and supply and demand have shifted with the rise of the emerging market economies. And that is not something that monetary policy can directly influence, or at least not substantially. Yes, at the back of the room.
From 1990 to 2003, inflationary expectations as measured by the Michigan survey averaged 2.8%. It was remarkably stable. From there to 2007, that jumped up to 9.31%. This year, it's over 5% persistent. And we haven't seen that since 1982. Why did we not pull that one more?
My reading is that, and I hope I get my facts correct here, is that you're referring to the 5% is short-term, and the longer-term inflation expectations are south of that particular number. And we're really very interested in the long-term inflation expectations. The short-term inflation expectations, we believe, are highly influenced by recent experience, particularly gasoline prices. And since our forecast, our belief is that, my belief is, I should say, that the gasoline prices coming down will have a positive effect on short-term inflation expectations, and the longer-term inflation expectations have been more stable. This is the reason I can be somewhat sanguine about the state of inflation expectations. Yes, sir.
Should the U.S. government consume Fannie and Freddie and move their loans onto the balance sheet of the United States, how might that affect our inflation?
I'm sure everybody heard the question. I'll repeat the question while I'm thinking about an answer. Should the United States government, the Treasury, use the word consume? Fannie and Freddie? I don't think anything I would say would add constructively to the current situation. We're dealing with a fluid situation. The recent news has been, on balance, positive. Fannie and Freddie, or I guess it was Fannie Mae, was able to get a debt financing done recently without difficulty. And I believe one of the major Wall Street firms put out analysis to the effect that They felt that Fannie and Freddie had enough capital to see them through to some period in the future. There are some positive signs, so I think I'll just stop there and say that it's a fluid situation, and my intervention with an opinion wouldn't help the situation. Yes, sir.
I just wondered what you think the prospects are for continuing strengthening the dollar.
The question relates to continuing strengthening the dollar. Even though I've already gone out of bounds this morning in talking about the dollar, let me say that typically we view the comment on the exchange value of the dollar as the purview of the Treasury, not the Federal Reserve. But certainly it's been helpful. There's no question it's been helpful to just see this period of relative stability of the dollar. Yes?
Rising global inflation, a lot of countries have resorted to rising trade barriers and resorted to improving trade barriers as well. What effect does it have on inflation in the U.S.?
Let me make sure I got the question. Just to paraphrase, what effect does global rising inflation have on inflation in the U.S.?
Global rising inflation and the trade barriers erected by various governments across the globe.
I'm sorry, I didn't get the last part.
Various trade barriers that many governments are resorting to nowadays.
Well, let me just pick a part of your question that I'm prepared to answer. Obviously, we should have some concern about imported inflation because we import a lot of consumer goods, and we are addressing that. To date, that has not been, let's say, a rampant moving aspect of the inflation picture, but it certainly has to concern us that sources of consumer goods in the United States obviously come through the exchange value of the dollar when they're purchased. Are experiencing inflation, they're experiencing price pressure. So we're not immune, is I guess the answer. We're not immune from some influences of inflation elsewhere. Let me leave it at that, if I may. How much time do we have? One more? One more. Yes, sir.
I'm curious as to your personal view on the effect of the inflation, the persistent inflation in health care costs over the past decades. Do you view it as behaving as an ailing queen bee, or just a rampant rogue bee? But what effect on inflation do you see in healthcare costs?
Well, I'm sure you heard the question, but it relates to the effect of healthcare costs. Let me say first, I went on the board of St. Joseph's Hospital here for precisely the reason that I wanted to try to get a better understanding of what these pressures were. Also, I wanted to do good for St. Joseph's Hospital as well, but I had an ulterior motive, I guess is the way to put it. Because if you look over the last decade or more, you've seen just consistent inflation in healthcare costs above the average inflation rate in the economy. And I am not an expert on what's driving all those costs, but they do seem to be, to some degree, unrelenting. And the best I can say is I have no sound basis for projecting that those costs will abate, that element of inflation will abate. Our demand for healthcare services continues to be strong and rise. And you know, we can talk about the politics of what kind of healthcare system will come, but for now it's obviously a very, very much dominated by private sector forces in many respects, although Medicare has some pricing influence in the overall scheme. And so I just don't see that there is realistic prospect for getting those rates down dramatically in the near term. Thanks, everybody, for your attention.